Good afternoon. I think it's not easy to present when you are the last one to present here. But I will try my best to be brief and also to the point. I will be presenting cost analysis of national hospitals from Afghanistan. And this will not be only providing the unit costs for different services or different units, but it will also include some data on the hospital statistics. So this is to disclose that I don't have any relationships with any company or any other organization rather than the Ministry of Public Health, Afghanistan. The presentation will cover objectives and methodology of the study, the findings, and also the challenges that we faced during the data collection and conducting the study, and finally recommendations to the Ministry of Public Health. Objective and methodology first. The objective of this study was to provide a baseline overview of national hospitals' actual costs and resources and service statistics. The idea was that this information will be used by the Ministry of Public Health to improve the service quality, and also the hospitals will use this data to assess their own performance during the coming years and also to improve planning processes. In terms of methodology, we used hospital cost allocation tool, which stands for HOSPICAL, and the tool was developed by Management Sciences for Health, MSH. We received a training. It's an Excel-based tool, and it is automated. So we need to enter the data on costs and also hospital statistics and other indicators that are relevant. And then it will populate the tables that are relevant to unit costs for every department or every unit. But we need to set up allocation factors, like how do we want to define, let's say, how do we want to divide the expenditure of, let's say, salaries to different departments, or how do we want to divide the maintenance and utilities expenses to different departments. We used a methodology of top-down, so in this methodology we divided the administration costs to ancillary and support services and to the inpatient and outpatient services. For example, if we take the salary of the hospital administrator into account, so a fraction of that salary would go to ancillary and support services. Which we mean by ancillary and support services is that, let's say, the laboratory, the ultrasound, diagnostic services, and ambulance, and all those units that are providing support to both inpatient and outpatient services. And then another fraction will go to inpatient services, and finally there will be a small fraction that will go to outpatient services as well. And the cost of the ancillary services were divided allocated to inpatient and outpatient services because it does not provide any support to the administration. And like this, we should take into account the structure when we go ahead so that we will see the costs. In study sites, there are 18 national hospitals in Kabul that were included in this study. The ones marked with the stars, these hospitals were supported by the Ministry of Higher Education, and the other hospitals are supported by the Ministry of Public Health. So these Aliabad and Maiwand hospitals are teaching hospitals, and they are operated by the Ministry of Higher Education. But based on their request, we have included them into the study. The hospital cost centers, these are just examples of what we mean by general cost centers or ancillary cost centers and clinical cost centers. In general, we have administration, clinical management, laundry, kitchen, maintenance and utilities, and others. And in ancillary, as I mentioned before, we have laboratory, pharmacy, audiometry, ultrasound, ECG, and other diagnostics. Ambulance is also part of ancillary. And in clinical, we have different clinical departments. These are just examples that you can see here. In terms of findings, we found out that, in fact, before conducting this study, we refer to the curative medicine's general directorate and we ask them for the exact number of beds in the hospitals, the exact number of physicians in all these national hospitals, and different other indicators, and they say that we have a range, let's say, between this figure and that figure, but we don't have exact figures. So we thought that, okay, this study should bring these data to the table, and it could serve as a baseline for the Ministry of Public Health, so that it can make its decisions based on this data as well. There are more than 2,500 beds in the hospitals in Kabul. I would just want to mention that the national hospitals are operated by the government and the Ministry of Public Health and the Ministry of Higher Education. So they are not contracted out, as my colleague talked about, contracted out mechanism. Though that's the basic package of health services and the essential package of hospital services that are contracted out. The number of outpatient visits, you can see that 1.2 million outpatient visits. While these outpatient visits could have been taken care by the primary care health facilities that are in the city, but we see a problem here at the first glance that these hospitals that are supposed to be providing tertiary health care, they are providing outpatient visit services. And then we have inpatient admissions, approximately 191,000 visits, and the discharges 185,000, and then there have been some 3,629 deaths reported. We believe that based on the communication that we had with some hospital staff, these figures could be like underreported about the deaths, because there isn't a good system for tracking all the deaths, and there aren't functional death review committees in the hospitals. So in addition to evaluating the costs, or I would say capturing the costs of the hospital, we were looking into several other things and the process. And based on these observations, at the end we have some recommendations that you will see that they are not related directly to costs, but they are about improving, let's say, the death review committees or other indicators that could be beneficial for the whole hospitals. In terms of staffing, we see that about 50% of the staff are admin staff plus support staff, which come at the end here. We see that 419 admin staff and then 1,483 other staff, which includes support staff, including cleaners and guards and drivers. So it means that we have imbalance in terms of staff. We see that there are 1,500 doctors and just 880 nurses. So there is an imbalance between the doctors and nurses as well. And while it should be like opposite, we should have 1,500 nurses while 880 doctors. This is just an example. I'm not referring to exact figures, but this should be vice versa, because we don't need as many nurses as we have doctors, or we need more nurses than doctors. And also we see that there are very few physiotherapists in these hospitals. So if we see that there are 18 national hospitals and 11 physiotherapists, it means that we do not have one physiotherapist per hospital. About hospital staffing ratios, we see that the MOPH recommended ratio, MOPH stands for Ministry of Public Health, and this is the current ratio here in the middle. We see that the ratios are a little bit inflated, so the Ministry of Public Health will take some actions about increasing the number of nurses, and also it may take action on either increasing the number of beds in hospitals or decreasing the number of doctors that are there. But I would like to mention that since we didn't have I would say disaggregated data available about the number of trainees that are introduced as doctors in some of these hospitals that are teaching hospitals. So that could be one of the reasons why this figure is a little bit inflated. And we clearly see that the number of nurses to bed, that is lower than even recommended figure by the Ministry of Public Health. In terms of number of beds per hospital, we see that in some hospitals, like Indira Gandhi Child Health Hospital, we had 350 beds, which is a huge hospital. But in other hospitals, at the end of the graph, we can see here that the TB hospital, stomatology hospital, and Ihya-e Mujaddad hospital, which is a rehabilitation hospital, and Dasht-e Barchi hospital, they have less than 40 beds per hospital, which means they are very small hospitals. In terms of outpatient visits by hospital, we see that again there is an imbalance between the hospitals. Some hospitals in this graph we can see that have served hundreds of thousands of outpatient visits, and some others have had very few number of outpatient visits. I'm not concerned, or I would say the Ministry of Public Health should not be concerned about the figures at the lower end of the of this graph, but it should consider the upper end of this graph, because these hospitals should be focusing on tertiary care health services. And the average number of outpatient visits by each hospital was estimated at just 69,949 visits per hospital. About the inpatient admissions, we also see that there has been some imbalance, although some of the hospitals like Indira Gandhi had the highest number of hospital beds, it didn't have the highest number of hospital admissions. So this means that there has been some issues in terms of either efficiency or taking care of the patients, or the behavior of health providers, that some of the hospitals even had, like the TB hospital had only 98 admissions in 1 year, which is concerning. I apologize for my broken English. In fact, it's my fifth language, and sometimes I just have to think about the word and then come up with a translation in English. Deaths per 1,000 admissions, we also see that in some hospitals that are providing, let's say, the very emergency care, like the Ibn Sina Emergency Hospital, there have been 22 deaths per 1,000 admissions, but in other hospitals like Ibn Sina Sadri, which is providing services to heart disease patients and other patients that are, I would say, at a stage that is unstable, and it's not possible for them to take care of that. And there are more deaths in those hospitals. In Aliabad Hospital, we see that there have been 64 deaths per 1,000 admissions. So there has been an issue with the private sector as well, because when a patient gets admitted to a private hospital, they will try to rehabilitate the patient and get it stabilized. But if they can't do that and they see that the patient is going toward a wrong direction, so they will refer a patient to a public hospital. And when they get to a public hospital, it's the end of their life, and they will die there like in a few minutes or a few hours. And that's why that death is also counted in the hospital. So that's also a point to be taken into account. Bed occupancy rate, the recommended figures for a very efficient hospital is about 80 to 85% of bed occupancy rate. And we have those figures in two of our hospitals, which is Indira Gandhi Child Hospital and also Wazir Akbar Khan Hospital. But in other hospitals, these figures drop, and we have as low as 33% bed occupancy rate, which is concerning, and the average bed occupancy rate for all of these 18 hospitals was estimated at 58%. So either we should decrease the number of beds in the ministry, in these hospitals, or we should focus on other factors and conduct studies to find out the reasons behind the low bed occupancy rate. The average length of stay, which is also an indicator for hospital efficiency, we see that in some hospitals, it has been as high as 7.2 days per admission. And this is, I would like to mention that we have excluded outliers. So if we include outliers, then it will raise even more, because the average bed occupancy rate for all these hospitals is reported at 4.1 days, excluding outliers. But if outliers like the tuberculosis hospital and the rehabilitation hospital are included, then this figure will jump up to nine days, like in average. So in some hospitals we see that this is good, in others this is not good. So the Ministry of Health will take decisions based on the findings of this study. In summary, we see that the average length of stay in these hospitals has been 4.1 days, and the bed occupancy rate has been 58%, and there have been 18 deaths per 1,000 admissions in national hospitals. In terms of costs, we see that in 1 year period, above $22 million were spent in these 18 hospitals, and some hospitals have driven more costs than the others. But in general, we see that these costs were already budgeted in the Ministry of Health, and they didn't have any control over making changes in their budget. So that was a very centralized system by the time this study was conducted. And I would like to mention that the study covers the period of March 2011 till March 2012. Hospital cost distribution, we see that there has been an imbalance between different hospitals. This graph shows that the general costs differ, like from 20 to 22% to more than 85% in different hospitals. We can see in TB hospital, the general costs have been 85% of the total cost, while in other hospitals like Rabia Balkhi Hospital, which is a maternity hospital, the general costs were as low as 22% of the total cost. And the same happens with the ancillary and clinical costs. In this graph, in this pie chart, we see that 61% of the total costs were driven by salaries, which is a point of concern comparing to the basic package of health services that my colleague mentioned, that there were 40% of the costs were driven by salaries, which seems a reasonable figure. Here it's 61%, which is a very rough figure. While we should spend more on pharmaceuticals, we see that we are spending only 8% of the total cost on pharmaceuticals, and this is why the findings of the National Health Accounts report show that out-of-pocket expenditure is estimated at 73% of the total health expenditure, and more than 20% of the costs are spent or expenses have occurred at hospitals. Although we declare that health services should be free in Afghanistan, but people are making payments because they cannot get all the pharmaceuticals from the hospitals, or sometimes they need to get to make some under-the-table payments. If I were, I would say, a hospital administrator, I would cut from the kitchen costs and put it more into pharmaceuticals. Percent of costs devoted to outpatient and inpatient, we see that 24% of the total costs were driven by the outpatient departments. Although we didn't have very clear data about the expenses of the hospital on outpatient and inpatient, we talked to the hospital managers and also to the hospital staff, and we got average for every hospital staff that the time were allocated to IPD and OPD. So we allocated their salaries based on that. Let's say there was a hospital doctor that was serving 20% of his time in the outpatient care and 80% of his time in the inpatient. So we could allocate that their salary based on that percentage. About the average costs of outpatient and inpatient, we found out that cost per bed per year was $11,532 during the study period, and cost per bed day was estimated at $32 per bed day, and the average cost for outpatient visit was $4.17. And again, I would like to mention that we have excluded outliers from this outpatient care as well, because in tuberculosis, the outpatient care costs were estimated at $17 per outpatient visit, and in tuberculosis it was $27, and in Hiyaa Mujaddad it was $16 per outpatient visit. So the challenges, there were numerous challenges, like the pile of the documents that you can see, but the biggest challenge was the collection of data. because the data was so scattered and the hospital didn't have a good record of health expenses or in general their health management information systems. Although they had people assigned as HMIS or health management information system officers, they were receiving salaries but they were not taking care of the HMIS indicators. So the challenge was that sometimes we could not find exact figures about the human resources, and sometimes we could not find, data about the expenses that have occurred in the hospital or the donated medicine or whatever. So there have been challenges, and we have categorized the challenges in four categories: human resources, efficiency, costs, and data management. And we have come up with recommendations for these four areas that will address the challenges that we have faced during the study. So in terms of utilization and efficiency, we recommend that the beds should be redistributed and the services should be reorganized. Hospital standards should be defined and a referral mechanism should be improved, because we saw that most of these national hospitals are serving as OPD centers. Bed occupancy rate should be improved, and one of the, I would say, tools that could be used at the behavior change intervention, because we found out that most of the hospital staff didn't have good interpersonal communication skills, and because of that, people were preferring not to go to the national hospitals for care, and they were preferring to go to private hospitals instead. Strengthen debt review committees, because we found out that in most cases when a patient dies, it will be only reported that Mr. X died, and that's it. Why did he die? That should be dug into, and we should find out the reasons behind that. Hospitals should have internet access, because we found out that very few hospitals had internet access, and that's something very necessary for the doctors and the other providers to have access to. In terms of human resources, we should rationalize medical staffing. Please forgive me for the typo of adding a D here at the end of rationalize, because we saw that the ratios were imbalanced, and we should also introduce a shift mechanism for the hospital staff, because we saw that there is hospital staff from the morning till afternoon, I would say 2 p.m., but after 2 p.m. you can find very few hospital staff that are working there. So a shift mechanism could be a better option. Provider payment mechanism should be introduced, and hospital managers should be trained on management. We found out that most of the hospital managers were doctors, and they were very good doctors, or I would say surgeons, but they didn't know about hospital management. So this is something a little bit out of the boundaries of the study, but we noticed that and we came up with this recommendation. We should also recruit biomedical engineers, because we saw many machines that were not working, but they were very new. So if we have biomedical engineers, they can take care of those equipment, and they could be used for a longer period of time. In terms of costs, hospital autonomy should be increased over resource allocation, because during the study period, the hospitals didn't have any control over their resource allocation. It was something fixed budget in three lines, and they had to spend that, and that was it. Public-private partnerships could be implemented, and that could be a good option to improve efficiency at the hospitals and decrease costs. And a user fee mechanism should be introduced, which is a big task ahead for our department. We are trying to advocate with the Parliament and with the Ministry of Finance and the President to first change the interpretation of the Constitution that healthcare should be free, and then come up with a scheme so that we can introduce user fee and also take care of the poor. So poor should be exempted, but others who can pay, they should pay user fee, but then receive quality healthcare services. In terms of data management, we recommend that the medical records should be improved, and national hospitals should be included integrated into the health management information system. We refer to it as HMIS, There are 1,999 health facilities in Afghanistan, and all of these health facilities are reporting to the Ministry of Public Health through the HMIS, but the national hospitals are not. So we recommend that these hospitals should be included into the system so that the Ministry of Health will have their data available. And the data use should be improved at hospital level. Thank you. Please. Okay, it's a good question to know what would be the next steps for these recommendations. In fact, you can download a full report on this study from the website that is shown on the slide. And this report was not only presented, or the study findings were not only presented to the Ministry of Public Health leadership and the General Directorate of Curative Medicine, but we are advocating very strongly in the whole health sector to come up with mechanisms to implement the recommendations. I know that it's not easy and it takes time, but some of the recommendations have already been implemented, I would say. For example, when we reported that the data management was not good at hospital level, so these hospitals noticed that it was time for them to take action. They trained their HMIS officers, or the officers that were taking care of the health management information system, on how to keep a good track of their data. And now I have seen in more than 3 hospitals that they have already put in place a good mechanism for tracking their not only their health management data, but also their expenditure data. And they have asked me that next time when you come, we will provide you all this data in less than an hour. While the previous time, it was taking us as long as more than a month to collect the data for their expenditure and the health management information system. Another example could be the hospital autonomy. We have talked to the department that is relevant, and they have come up with a strategy for hospital autonomy. It is presented at different levels, and there is a strong buy-in at the Ministry of Public Health level. And that will be hopefully introduced once the Minister of Public Health meets with the parliamentarians and discusses them. We have also taken actions on how to bring the parliamentarians, take them out of the country with the Minister of Public Health and Minister of Finance, so that they will talk together and have more meetings, because in Afghanistan they are very busy. They don't have time for the health sector. But when we take the health committee of the parliament out of the country with the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Health, they will have more time to discuss them. And we can make them understand how important it is to have a sustainable health financing mechanism in Afghanistan. The government is highly dependent on donors, and if the donors withdraw, then we will have a failure or collapse. We have also come up with a revenue generation strategy, which is endorsed by the Ministry of Public Health leadership, and we have sent that to the Ministry of Finance and also to the Presidential Palace and the Parliament for their approval. And that policy and that strategy, we recommend that taxes should be increased on fuel, on tobacco, on emissions, and also on air emission, so that we can have a sustainable health financing mechanism in Afghanistan. And the other recommendations, we will be tracking them over the coming years, and we will see how things change. We may need additional studies to dig into the reasons of this, I would say, imbalance or the issues that currently exist in the hospitals. And then those studies, based on the findings and recommendations of those studies, the Ministry of Health will take more actions. Yeah, Dr. Kinkin. That's a very good question, that there is an imbalance between the nurses and the physicians ratios. The Ministry of Health has considered that as a priority. We are not only training nurses, but we are also training midwives, because we have few midwives that, like, I don't have the exact figures, but we had about 400 midwives back in 2002-2003, and that figure has increased to almost, I would say, 4,000 midwives, if I'm not wrong, in the country. But we need more than that, because it's estimated that we will need about 8,000 midwives in the whole health system. About the nurses, there are public schools that are training nurses, but also private schools that are training nurses. And in the private sector, we don't have their data, so I cannot make a comment about the private sector. But about the public sector, we see that there is an imbalance. In some hospitals, we have more nurses. In other hospitals, there are less nurses. And I hope that during the coming 5 years, we will tackle this issue.